Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Well, I know for me, it was the easiest thing to rip off the band-aid of procrastination to start getting my message out there. And if you haven't heard about Anchor already, which I'm sure many of you have if you're listening to my show, it is the free tool that makes podcasting for anyone super easy. Like I said, it's free. There are tons of creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. This was a game changer for me because I absolutely had no excuse not to get it done. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so that you can be heard on Spotify, Apple, and many more. What I love about it is that you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. This is a game changer for us beginning podcasters to actually start driving some revenue from putting our message out there. It's really everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back, everyone, to the third episode of The Reminder Remedy. I'm your host, Alina Conley, reminding you that everything you need is everything that you got. I am so thrilled to be coming to you all with this topic today, okay? Today, I'm going to be entitling this episode, Unmastering Motherhood. Okay, so this is going to be an episode for all of my new moms, my seasoned moms, my preggo people who are just out there wondering, am I doing this thing right? Just when you feel like you've gotten a grasp on this thing called motherhood, all of a sudden your babies turn into a completely different person, you're questioning yourself, you're anxious, and you're finding yourself spiraling out of control. But today I actually want to have a conversation with you all about my journey leading up to motherhood, my first year of motherhood, and really just how I even came to this place where for the first time ever, I'm really talking about why motherhood has been the hardest thing for me to do in my entire life. So let's get started. Okay, so if you've been following me for a while, you know that I came out with my blog maybe about 2 years ago now, alinaconley.com. And one of the things that I talked about in one of my more popular blog posts was how motherhood really, really was a transitional phase in my life because it was the first time ever that I had to truly submit myself to God, like hands off of the wheel, because as you moms tuning in know that when it comes to our babies, our kids, there is really nothing we can do to predict what type of child we will have, what kind of mother we will be, so much so that it forces us to dim our light so that God can shine a little bit brighter through us, through our patience, through all of the things that we have to take on as mothers. And that was just such a transitional phase in my life because I think that leading up to that, I always had this concept of willpower in my back pocket. I always felt like, well, if I just work a little harder, or if I, you know, put my head down, if I grind it out, if I read the right books, if I show up on time, then life will be perfect. And, you know, that couldn't be further from the truth when you start bringing a baby into your life. You know, when they go to sleep, what they choose to eat, when they become potty trained, when they start communicating, how they do at school, all of these things start to impact you. Someone else's decisions start to impact you, and you realize I have no control. So take the opportunity to go back to that blog post from about 2 years ago where I share that. But what I want to talk about today is how, you know, the reason why I even created that blog was so that I could have a place to be very transparent about motherhood and kind of what I had experienced and a little bit of postpartum depression that I went through. And then all of a sudden, I started getting all of these emails and all of these messages, and people were telling me, we want to hear more of your mom hacks. We want to hear, you know, how do you do this? How do you do that? What is your recommendations on balancing motherhood? What are your recommendations on, you know, everything dealing with boys or whatever? And I found myself clamming up. I I had so much anxiety around the topic of motherhood because I had a lot of insecurities around my ability to be a good mom. So it just wasn't something that I was comfortable talking about. You know, ask me some business questions, ask me something about life. You know, I'll be the first one to jump on the phone and give you tons of advice. But when it came to me actually giving mom advice, I just did not feel comfortable. Okay, so as I was celebrating Alicia's first birthday party, I was having all of these emotions. I put out this really heartfelt Instagram post, which thank you guys for showing me so much love and support. But I honestly was tearing up and telling Prince how proud I was of myself because of how far I have come in this journey of motherhood and just really all of the changes that I have made and the things that I have embraced to become the woman, the wife, the mother that I want to become. And so I really want to just bring you guys down this journey with me, give you some insight as to where I started, how I transitioned, where I am today, so that, you know, maybe it lands on the hearts of whoever it's for. But, you know, even in the midst of me putting this episode together, I started to get a little anxious again because here I am. And I just feel like when it comes to motherhood, there's no perfect answer. There's always going to be so many opinions. And I never wanted to be that person that put my opinions of motherhood, my struggles, you know, the things that my kids deal with that your kids may not do. I just didn't want it to be a comparison thing. It's a very, very sensitive subject for me as an individual. And then, of course, I definitely get sensitive about my kids. And so as I was kind of going back and forth between really coming out of the closet about this journey, you know, I came across a devotional today. Well, I was doing my devotional today, and this is what it said. And I knew at that moment that it was going to be important for me to just get real and raw. So this came from Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. It reads, "I have not yet reached my goal, and I am not perfect, but Christ has taken hold of me. So I keep on running and struggling to take hold of the prize. My friends, don't feel that I have already arrived, but I forget what is behind and I struggle for what is ahead. I run towards the goal so that I can win the prize of being called to heaven." And then the second verse of my devotional today was from Isaiah chapter 51, and it said, "He sent me to give them flowers in place of their sorrow, olive oil in place of tears, and joyous praise in place of broken hearts. They will be called trees of justice, planted by the Lord to honor his name." And, you know, I'm in this habit now with devotionals where I read it, but then I challenge myself to read it a second time. And the first time I was kind of like just kind of going through the motions. And the second time the words jumped off the pages to me. And it really was God telling me, "Alina, it's time to tell your story. It's time to tell your story. It's time to stop feeling like you have to be this perfect mom and have these mom hacks and have all of this advice and be an expert in this area for you to feel comfortable talking about this, because the prize is when you are running, when you are struggling." Okay, so I'm not even trying to get preachy when it comes to these episodes, but I think that when we have moments like this, when it's crystal clear and we hear the voice, it's just like you gotta go for it. So let's get started on my life as Alina the mommy. So first of all, it didn't even start the way that I had imagined it my whole life. You know, it always was supposed to be, "I'm married to the man of my dreams. We've been married for a few years. We've traveled the world together. And then when we're ready, when we have our house on the hill and our white picket fence, then we'll start trying for a baby and we'll have kids and I'll be pregnant the same time as my best friends and life will be great. We'll send them to the perfect schools. They'll make straight A's. They'll be perfect athletes. And life is just going to be an amazing journey, and I cannot wait. And then guess what? Oh my God. My boyfriend at the time, now husband Prince, and I had been dating only maybe 5 or 6 months when we found out that we were pregnant. We literally had just relocated back to Atlanta for the first time ever. We're living together, which you guys know is a transition in itself. He had just recently been laid off. I had just started working my network marketing business. So from a financial standpoint, we were definitely not where I imagined I would be when it came to getting ready to have a child. Then you have the elements of friends, which as a single woman plays a huge part in your life. And if you know me, you know that I'm very, very close with my friends. And it was so funny because every year I would always, like around April Fool's, tell them that I was pregnant jokingly. And it just so happened that April Fool's was the day that I actually found that I was pregnant in real life in 2013. So of course, when I went to them and was like, hey y'all, like I'm about to have a baby, they didn't believe me. So much so that Maya came over, she was like looking through my trash and in fact saw that it was a real pregnancy test and I was legit pregnant. And it once again wasn't how I imagined it to be. It wasn't this cute announcement. It wasn't this, oh my God, my friends are like, we're about to have a baby. I remember Cherie saying, are you ready for this? You know, and I could sense a little bit of disappointment. Maya and I were co-founders of a app called Girl Talk. We were doing pitch competitions every weekend. Mind you, me and my friends were just starting to travel internationally. And she was just kind of looking at me like, I mean, at the end of the day, it is what it is. But everybody that I know that has babies, like, it changes. So at this point, I'm just mentally getting prepared to lose a friend. That's how it felt. And so once again, not what I had imagined life to look like, you know, when expecting my first child. So then I started going through, you know, all of the thoughts of like what motherhood would look like for me. And I just really couldn't embrace it. You know, to be completely honest, I just was not ready. And so I had pretty much told me like, hey, you know, people get pregnant all the time when they're not ready. You know, whatever happens, happens. I'll just add this baby kind of onto my life and I'll keep it moving and figure it out. That was kind of my mindset. So my pregnancy just wasn't this whole process of, oh, nursery decorating and going to Lamaze classes and reading books. No, it was not that. It was just kind of like, hey, slipped up, got pregnant. What we gonna do? And so mentally, I was not in the space at all for what was coming next. All right. So outside of that, when I talked about financially, I wasn't in a position really to even think about paying for a baby hospital wise. So I end up getting on Medicaid, going with some random recommended doctor that they had, you know, would go to my little appointments. But really, even from that phase of it, really getting prepared for birthing and all that kind of stuff, just didn't really have a grasp on that. Was just kind of going through the motions. And then what ended up happening was I found out about this thing called a doula, and I was like, okay, let me get one. And shout out to Tamika's my doula, because she was the first person that really stepped into my life and painted a very different picture of motherhood for me, starting with what my experience would be like birthing my son. Outside of the fact that I was also kind of struggling with the gender, I always imagined my life with a girl. Like I was my mom's only girl. It was always me and her. We rocked out. We have a, you know, my best friend is the only girl. And that was just kind of what I thought life would look like for me, you know, just like a repeating cycle of what I had experienced. And when I found out that I was having a boy, I was devastated. And so she really started helping me to recognize the more important things around having a child, what a blessing it was, you know, but also really embracing what my role was going to be. After bringing Tamika into my life, I knew that I wanted to have a natural delivery. I ended up telling my doctor that I was having a doula, and she rolled her eyes at me. It was at that moment that I knew I probably should have switched providers. I probably should have went to a midwife or someone that could be a little more supportive. But I didn't because I was already in my last trimester and I was just kind of like, whatever. Like, what's the worst that could happen? I'll have at least Tamika's in the room to be an advocate for me. So here we are, fast forward. I'm getting ready to have this baby. I'm now in labor 2 days. I'm exhausted, still no medication. And basically, I had not gotten past 1 centimeter. Bummer, okay? You guys know how it is when you're, you know, contracting like nobody's business and they come and check you and you're like, what? I'm where? Can't be. So it's just a very defeating moment. And it did not help that they pretty much came was just like, hey, you need to get some rest, right? So they gave me some medicine to help me go to sleep. But what ended up happening was that Parker went to sleep. So the next morning, he was just not very active. There wasn't much progress. And so, you know, I was starting to get a little anxious. The thing that you want to stay away from the most during your labor, you want to be relaxed. You want to be calm. I was starting to get anxious because I had friends and family there. They were keeping me calm, keeping me excited, keeping me motivated. And then my doctor comes in and was like, this is not a party. We're here to have a baby, in a very, very mean tone. And instantly I felt a sense of, just defeat, you know, like I felt like, okay, clearly I'm not moving fast enough for her. What's wrong with my body? Even the nurses were coming in. They would be like talking to each other like, yeah, this is probably going to end up being a section. This will probably end up being a C-section. She even told me that you'll probably end up in a C-section. What? And it was just like, I cannot believe that you guys are being so impatient with me that nothing is wrong with my baby. You know, my water had broken and now you all are basically using that as leverage to say, yeah, if you don't have this baby in 12 hours, the state won't even allow us to like deliver you vaginally. So they're putting all of this stuff in my mind when I'm still having terrible contractions every minute. Okay, this is what I'm going through. Long story short, they win the battle. They end up giving me a C-section because of failure to descend. I had multiple epidurals. And I just remember reading a book that was basically like, yeah, if you have a C-section, you know, bonding is just stripped away from you. You don't remember anything. And so I was just so determined to see my baby boy come out that I was just focused on that. And that was literally the only thing I remember. I remember seeing Parker's face. And after that, I don't remember any of the first hours of his life. I was so drugged up. I was in so much pain. I thought that my insides were going to explode. It was a terrible experience. And so after that, you know, probably like the first day in the hospital, I was too sore to hold him. Other than nursing, that was a little hard. And so he had a lot of bonding with Prince in the early days. By the time we got home, it was still the same thing. I was severely swollen. I felt like crap. You know, I was able to nurse Parker. But, you know, at that point, I started struggling with that. Was experiencing a lot of bleeding through because of breastfeeding. Just, I mean, you name the things that could go wrong, they were going wrong, or so I thought. And I just remember my mom coming over and I just straight up looked at her and I was just like, I don't want to be a mom. I was like, this is not fun. This is terrible. And oh, by the way, this baby does not like me. I was like, everyone that's around, he goes to them. He's not crying. But as soon as he comes to me, he starts crying. And she was like, Alina, you know, this is just the first couple of days. You'll be fine. But I could see in her eyes that she was devastated for me. I was devastated for myself. This was not at all what I thought motherhood would look like, what I thought my life would look like. And it just kind of got a little worse. You know, I started to heal up, started to feel better. But as Parker got older, it was very evident that he was quote unquote a daddy's boy. I started to feel like a stranger in my own home, not because of anything that Prince was doing, but really just because I was really struggling with the fact that my delivery did not go the way that I was supposed to, that it was supposed to. I kept replaying those moments where my doctor would come in and say things. I kept replaying those moments where the nurses would just look at me like I was a failure. And they weighed on my spirit so heavy that I just was so envious of people to my left and my right that were able to pop kids out in just like 2 minutes. And I was just like, what is wrong with me? What was wrong with my body? And still really blaming that moment in time as to the reason why Parker did not bond with me in those first hours, because he got to do the skin to skin with his dad instead of me. And it just left me in a very, very dark place. And I don't even think that at that time I realized that I was dealing with a little postpartum. because I had always heard about extreme things like, oh, wanting to throw the baby out the window and shake the baby and stuff like that. But I didn't realize that I was genuinely sad on the inside because I felt defeated about being able to properly bring my baby into the world in a way that was going to be most beneficial for him and me. And because of that, I now don't have a relationship with him. I also started thinking, well, maybe it was because he heard that I didn't want a boy, that he's just like, listen, lady, you didn't want me and I don't want you. I mean, you can't even imagine the stuff that I was telling myself. And so, you know, time went on, things got better. I started embracing it a little bit more. But then there came the part of, oh, by the way, you know, now we're engaged, we're getting ready to get married. And I have this business that has to pay for the majority of the wedding. So now I'm away from my kid, you know, like I bring him sometimes, but for the most part, I'm away from him. So now I'm feeling resentful about that because I can't be this like stay at home mom that's raising my kid like I thought I would. Everything was just not going the way that I had written it in the story of Alina. If you've ever read my blog post, you know that this became a transitional moment in my spiritual life because I was just at such a low point because it was the first time in my life that I did not have control over my life. And I'm sure that so many of you all can relate to that. You have lived on willpower, hard work, all those things that we control in human nature. And then when you have kids, you realize that you have no control over what they do, what they say, how they act, who, you know, when they cry, when they sleep. And that was the moment that I completely just surrendered and was like, God, help me. Help me. I need you right now to show me how this experience is supposed to change me, how this experience is supposed to grow me, and how I can be the best version of myself so that I can be the best mother for this kid. So things got better. Life went on. I started to embrace the role of motherhood a little bit more. You know, I'm a big reader, and so I started reading some things that really put things in perspective for me, and I started to really see the blessing that motherhood was. And that was probably, it took me at least 9 or 10 months to get to a place where I wasn't like, this is a shit show. Honestly, like it took me 10 months to really get to a place where I was like, you know, oh, now I can see like why people, you know, love this or why people are obsessed with their babies. Because prior to then, between breastfeeding and lack of sleep and, you know, just things in a relationship, having to work, I just could not understand why people kept saying motherhood will be the best thing you've ever experienced. I was just like, lies, like everybody is lying. And then what ended up happening was, as I started to embrace this role, I got a little better. And then next thing you know, I was pregnant again. And I laugh about that because I remember one of my line sisters was asking me like, oh, how did you guys decide you were ready for baby number two? And I was looking at her like, we didn't decide this. Like, this was just another fun night. And she was like, really, Alina? Another just accident, baby? And it's funny to say that, but I don't think it's an accident. I think that, you know, they're definitely, when I know for sure, and I can't even say the things that transpired the week that we did conceive, but I know for sure why this baby came at the time that it did. But even with me having a second go around at excitement and embracing it and Parker having a sibling, I was up late one night and literally went into a panic attack. What's going to happen if I can't have a VBAC, which is a vaginal birth after a cesarean? What if I end up back in a C-section? What if I'm so doped up that I can't even remember my baby and now I have another baby who's a daddy's baby who doesn't want anything to do with mom? Now I'm in a house full of, you know, two kids that want nothing to do with me. I would not be able to emotionally handle that. As I'm literally sweating bullets, 2 o'clock in the morning, I realize, Alina, you got to go see somebody about this. You know, postpartum shows its head in very various ways, you know, and I didn't even realize it because it wasn't severe. I didn't want to harm my kids, but I had a lot of resentment around how my delivery went down that I just had not gotten over. I still had a lot of flashbacks. I still wanted to hit my doctor with a car. And I realized that I needed someone else to step in and help me take control of these thoughts so that I could have a healthy pregnancy with Alicia. So in steps Jessica, shout out to Jessica if she ever hears this. This is my therapist who I just randomly Googled, who was just an absolute lifesaver for me. One of the things that Jessica did with me early on in my therapy sessions was she did something called like brain blocking or something like that, where I had to put on these headphones. It was these little beeping noise in my ears. I had to look to certain way directions of the room. And what it did was it just brought up thoughts that were just kind of subconsciously stored in different segments of my brain. And during that session, which was probably one of my earlier sessions, it was so emotional because so much stuff was coming to the surface. And I think that one of the things that we don't do enough of is that we don't recognize that there are so many things from our past that impact our subconscious, things that are on a level that sometimes we can't even recognize that are impacting the negative thoughts that we have. So I realized through digging deep and it just kind of coming to the surface that I had a lot of guilt about getting pregnant. I knew that we weren't ready. You know, I knew that, you know, Prince wasn't even sure if he wanted kids, and now he was kind of stuck with a kid. And so I knew that I was the one that had kind of rushed him to move to Atlanta, and he, you know, he wasn't really ready. I wasn't ready financially. So it became all of these things that I was secretly blaming myself for, that, you know, I didn't realize that I was really holding all this guilt and then taking it out on them and my son and my husband. And then it was this other thing around some more deeply rooted issues around why I didn't want to have a boy, why I didn't want to raise a Black man in America, and being able to bring those thoughts that I didn't even know I really had to the surface just was so just freeing for me. It was so freeing. And so my first piece of advice is if you're struggling, number one, with a very noticeable postpartum, or if you are in a cycle where you feel like every day it's just like a zombie life, right? You're walking, but you're not really knowing what's happening to your left and your right. You're not sleeping. And you just don't feel like yourself. You feel sad more than you feel happy. It's very possible that you need to have some type of therapy sessions, you know, whether they're one or two, whether you stick with your person for a year plus. I'm going to encourage you right now to find a therapist. I think the hardest part about therapy is that they do not let you have a pity party for long, you know, and I didn't even realize that for that year and a half of Parker's life, you know, I was really having a pity party. And yes, I give myself a little grace, and there were some things that really, you know, okay, I suffered, you know, but I was spending too much time placing blame over things that I couldn't control, that I had really supposedly surrendered already. And so one of the things that Jessica helped me uncover were a lot of things that I was just running from in terms of taking ownership of the mom that I really wanted to become, and making excuses for what was preventing me from becoming that mom. So next, I want to really talk about the turning point for me. Therapy was the turning point for me, but it's kind of like one of those things where you can pay for coaching, but unless you're going to really execute and embrace the things that you're learning about yourself and your habits and the changes that are recommended, then you're going to constantly still be in a space of stuck. So I want to transition into, you know, how did things turn around for me after therapy? First of all, I really, you know, just took full control over my mental, you know, in terms of my thoughts. I started journaling more, which made me to identify when I was having good and bad days, when there were some things there that maybe I wanted to explore a little bit more. I really took the time to embrace pregnancy the second time around. You know, I knew that last time I didn't enjoy it, not because it wasn't fun, but because I was just so worried about, you know, things that are fleeting, that I didn't realize, you know, how much just this experience alone would just be true bonding with my child. So I did more things in terms of just like listening to music, letting her listen to music, reading to her, praying over her, just little things that really impacted my energy around this particular pregnancy. And then I made a very, very, very important decision, which is like one of my proudest moments, and why I kind of got emotional when I thought about her turning one, was that I made the decision to take a maternity leave, which is huge for me because you guys know that I run a network marketing business that just simply doesn't turn off. I mean, I know people that literally, you know, as soon as they have the baby, they're posting from the room like, hey, I'm so glad that my business is, and that's fine. But I knew that some of the guilt that I felt from my pregnancy with Parker or my first year with him was that I was not there. You know, that kids at the end of the day, they need you present. And I was not there. So, you know, I realized that for me to not have that guilt, for me to really not feel like these precious moments were stolen from me like they were last time, something was going to have to give. So I made motherhood a priority. You know, I no longer wanted to just add my children onto my life. I wanted my children to be a part of my life, but I wanted them to be a priority. So I made the decision to at least take a month or two, but really what ended up being 3 months based on kind of what, you know, what transpired, to really just, you know, embrace motherhood. And it was the best thing that I could have done for myself. You know, a lot of times we say, okay, we're making our kids a priority, making our kids a priority, but then our actions and our life and the way that we run our business and the amount of time that we're on our phone just really doesn't align with that. And this time around, I got it right for myself. You know, and I think that that's the biggest lesson that I learned, is that what's right for someone else, what's written in the book, what was even right for you last go round may not be right for you right now. And you don't have to explain to anybody why that is not right for you. Or you don't have to explain to someone why what you're doing is right for you. And that just made all the difference in this experience with me, is that I have true memories, you know, with Alicia that I felt like I didn't get a chance to have with Parker. I also, you know, took the time and took the ownership to read things that I felt like inspired me to be a better mom. You know, so sometimes when you're reading like motherhood books and stuff like that, they can almost depress you because you're like, man, it's like there's so much stuff I'm not doing. So I stayed away from stuff like that, you know, because half the stuff that was in those books wasn't relevant to me anyway. My kid was way crazier than the kids in the book. So it was like I didn't do things like that. But I started to read blogs and read books that I felt like hit home on the things that mattered to me, you know, really understanding, you know, how different kids are, how to embrace their personalities, you know, how to grow with them, how to grow with your family, how to give them the type of attention, discipline, and all the things that they need. So it's like at the end of the day, one of the things that I heard one time was, stop trying to be the type of mom that you want to be for your kids, and try to be the kind of mom that you need to be for them. So the kind of mom that I needed to be was one that was flexible, one that was compassionate, one that was alert. Because, you know, even then I didn't realize that, you know, present day, there are a lot of things that I have recently found out about Parker that are going to require me to need to be a different type of mom for him. I did a mom's group when I was pregnant with Alicia, and it was through my church. And in that group, you know, a lot of the stuff that they were teaching us, I really couldn't relate to because Parker was really young and he hadn't really started doing things that they talked about in the course, which was kind of for older kids or toddlers. And now those things are so relevant. You know, one of the things that they talk about is how so many times we get overly sensitive about the things that our kids are experiencing, who they are as people. We take on their burden as their parents, but really God has created them uniquely to have their own experiences. He's their father. He's going to take care of them. So stressing ourselves out with things that we can't control that our kids do, when they fall out, when they do this, yeah, we're going to parent, but you know, if they're the smartest cookie in the basket, if they're excelling more than other kids in school, are they the best athlete? Those are the things that we can't control. And being able to take a class that really encourages moms to take that burden of who their kids are and what they're capable of off of them is something that has been instrumental in my ability to just be like, hey, it is what it is. You know, like I have my friend Apriya once said to me, you are like one of the like most
calm, lax parents that I know. And to me, that was a compliment, because I think that for my former years, I was very on edge and very stressful and very self-conscious about motherhood and what people thought of me and my kid and my parenting. And once I really made the decision to, you know, put on my big girl panties and say, hey, you know, parenting isn't easy. You know, motherhood isn't easy. My kid is not easy, you know, and the things that I do may not be the right thing for you and whoever. Once I owned that, it took a lot of stress off of me. And, you know, it just made me really walk into who I am becoming as a mother, which I'm sure all of you all know changes all of the time.
So I want to then bring up my next point, or my next conversation that I want to have with you all, which is almost like this delayed postpartum. And it's something that I don't even necessarily think a lot of women go through, that they're legit going through right now with 12 and 13 year olds, which is the syndrome of losing ourselves as individuals when we have kids. One of the things that came out of therapy with Jessica was, you know, after a couple of sessions and I kind of got past my resentment with my delivery, and you know, we kind of ran out of stuff to talk about when it came to me getting prepared for Alicia. Then once Alicia got here, things were all good. I was taking my time. I was really enjoying life. You know, so sometimes when you're in therapy, it's not necessarily that you have to come with just all these terrible things and thoughts and stuff. Sometimes you're coming and you're like, you know, Jessica, life is really good right now. You know, everything that I said I was going to do, I'm doing, I'm implementing, you know, our processes. You know, you're feeling good about life. But I share it with you guys on my initial reason for starting this podcast, that I started to experiencing some what Jessica called delayed postpartum, which was when Alicia was about 4 or 5 months old. This is when we had gotten a full-time nanny. I was getting ready to get back into work, and I just felt like I could not get my mojo. I saw myself having a lot of social anxiety. You know, I had been basically homebound for a year and a half, preparing for this baby, taking care of this baby, that, you know, when I would go to alumni events or even just be around people, like I felt like I didn't have any value to add to conversation other than some breastfeeding techniques. I also felt like, okay, I don't really know who to hang with at this period in my life, because, you know, my friends don't really live locally to me. I'm not interested in hitting the street with a whole bunch of single people. You know, I want to find somebody that's in the same phase of life as me, but I don't know those people right now. You know, and I'm feeling a little anxious about how to network and meet people, and I don't want to just go to stuff by myself. You know, I just want some friends. And on top of that, I really just want to know what's next for me. I have, you know, decided that I don't want any more kids. And so it's kind of like I'm at this transition phase where everything that I've been preparing for, now that's done, right? Baby's here. She's good. She's living. She's situated. You know, we're embracing having two kids. You know, Prince is doing his thing. And then it's like, okay, so what am I doing? You know, yeah, I'm going back to work, but what am I really doing? You know, like I'm living in the moment, I'm being present, but I still feel a little uneasy because, like, I don't know what's next for me, because all of the things that I have done in the past, pre-kids, in terms of goals and career, all of that stuff was really more relevant when I was single with no kids. Now that I have kids and a husband, who I am and who I'm becoming is just so different that I don't really even know the direction that I want to go into, or in terms of what's next. And so, you know, I realize that this is so common because I have conversations like this every single week. Yeah, I don't really have many friends. I'm really just kind of with my kids and my husband, but I would love to start a business. I would love to have something to call my own. I would love to be able to go to some girls' time. All of these things that moms out there would love to do to find something for themselves, but yet we are not doing it. And so I want to just kind of give my personal testimony on how this has been a game changer for me this time around. So after I kind of went to my session with Jessica and I was like, look, I don't know what's happening. I think I thought I had beat postpartum, but I just drove down my block crying and I don't know why. And I feel like I don't know what direction my life is going in now that, you know, the baby's kind of growing up and she's with her nanny and I don't know what value I add and work is just kind of work and I don't know. And she was just straight up like, you have got to find some things that make you happy. She was like, at this point, all of our therapy sessions have been really about your family. It's been about the kind of mom you want to be for Parker to build a better relationship for you all. The kind of mom that you want to be for Alicia once she gets here. The kind of wife that you want to be. But we really haven't talked about who Alina wants to be for Alina. We haven't talked about the activities that you would love to dive yourself into. You know, we haven't talked about the things that just make you thrive in terms of energy. And so that's what our next few sessions became about, was really identifying who is Alina. And if I don't know who Alina is, because this is where many of you all are now, you know who the old Alina was. You know who you used to be when you was out here size 4 killing the game. But who are you now, you know, or who do you want to become and how do you get to that version of yourself? Because I'm in a place right now where I am not who I am going to become. Okay, so I know who Alina was. I know who I am current day, and who I am current day is someone that's on a journey to becoming a better version of myself. And that better version is someone who is obsessed with self-care. Someone that realizes that I cannot give 100% to my kids, my husband, my team, my business, my friends, my foe, whoever, if Alina is not okay with Alina. So that's where, when I shared my Instagram post on Monday, I talked about how this year, the mommy bounce back was not about weight. It wasn't about getting snatched, because at the end of the day, we can always buckle down, do some exercise, do some sit-ups, you know what I mean? And like get physical. And I don't mean to say that lightly, because I know that some of us are still trying to figure out how to do that, including myself. But I realized from my first go round that even once I got back down to, you know, a size 4 for my wedding, I still was unhappy. So what's the point of looking good if you don't feel good? I was still dealing with resentment from, you know, things that I dealt with Parker. I was still, you know, feeling a little depressed about whatever. And so for me, I wasn't going to be able to thrive in this next phase of my life until I took control of my mental health. Okay, so my mommy bounce back was figuring out who Alina was, who she is, and who she's going to become. So that's where I want to leave you guys today. You know, as moms, I want us to be okay with talking about our journey. You know, I want us to be okay with our journey looking different from someone else's. I want us to be okay, you know, saying this is what worked for me this week, and then not being so intimidated when something next week doesn't work for you. You know, I want you to embrace telling your truth and telling your struggle. You know, when it said that in Philippians, that stood out to me. So I keep on running and struggling. It don't say I keep on running and winning. It says I keep on running and struggling. Because when you struggle, you learn and you develop and you become the person that you're supposed to be. And then you have this really imperfect story to share with other people that gives them a pass to say, I am enough. You know, I am okay with being this flawed mother. I am okay with not being this expert. I am okay with not having this perfect plan of how to get my kid potty trained, how to get my kid's speech development where it needs to be. You know, I am okay with that because more than anything, I am embracing who I am as a mother. I am embracing the challenges that God is taking me through motherhood so I can become who He wants me to be. But I'm also pulling up my pants and saying, I'm going to take control of my mental health so that these people that depend on me get the best life that they can get, because I'm not just throwing myself a pity party because I don't know who I am. I haven't taken the time to invest in my mental health. Therefore, they're getting this 30% version of me that's always sad, always mopey, always tired, always fatigued. That is not fair to you. It's not fair to your kids. And even though I don't know everything about motherhood, everything about life, everything about business, what I can tell you is that when you take the time to discover who you really are, you know, what are the things that you really need to perform at your best and give your best as much as you can, everything else is positively impacted in so many ways.
Okay, so I want us as mothers to start having more conversations. I'm going to be doing a lot of follow-up episodes about my experiences, you know, when it comes to hitting milestones, when it comes to, you know, outsourcing things. So many people, you know, ask me, what is it like to have a nanny? How did you decide to do that? How do you balance motherhood, wifehood? Like, I'm getting ready to talk about all of that stuff because I'm owning who I am as Alina, Alina the individual, Alina the wife, Alina the mom, and I encourage you to do the same thing. As always, thanks for joining. This is your reminder. Everything that you have, everything that you need, you already got it. Go live your best life. And before I let you go for real, I did want to pass along some resources that have been instrumental in my ability to embrace motherhood, become the mother that I want to be, and really take charge of this entire journey. I'm going to actually put physical links to these probably on my website at some point, or actually I'll probably put it in my Facebook community since that's where we gathered the most, but I'll just shout them out really quickly in case you want to get a head start. So the course that I talked about I did with my church is actually available online, and you can do it as an individual study, but it's called Births on a Wire by Karen Stubbs. Phenomenal online kind of devotional program. Another favorite book of mine is Grace Not Perfection by Emily Lay. Y'all know I love Emily. Another game changer for me was From Good to Grace, and that is by Christine Hoover. And I know I've gifted that book to tons of moms. Another one, and I think that this is probably one of the first books that put things in perspective in terms of my spiritual calling for motherhood, is the book called Beyond Bath Time by Erin Davis. Another one of my favorites when it comes to moms who actually are entrepreneurs is called Moms Mean Business, and that's by Erin Babler and Laura Galloway. Another book that is just a compilation of tons of blog posts that I talked about that just give the real on motherhood is called The Magic of Motherhood, and the author is Gadd, G-A-D-D. And then lastly, my devotional that I'm currently reading, which is called The Busy Mom's Devotional, last name Bergen, B-E-R-G-E-N. Thanks for tuning in to The Reminder Remedy. I hope you find these resources useful. Head over to our More Life 2018 Facebook community to let me know what you thought about this episode, what you think about some of these resources, and what you want to hear next as we go into our journey of unmastering motherhood.